What is up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Sava FC. This is Antonio, and I'm here with Anthony. And before we begin today's episode, please follow us on whatever platform it is that you're listening to us on. Leave a comment, review, give us 5 stars if you're on Apple. We'd greatly appreciate it, and it'd really help us out. So what's going on, Ant?
It's been a busy couple weeks.
Has it? What's been going on?
I mean, all these teams are making transfers.
Well, I wouldn't say all these teams.
There's about 5 of them.
Right. So, because of COVID, obviously, a lot of teams this year have struggled financially.
Absolutely.
You know, with the past season going into this new season. And usually, I feel like around this time of the year, every day we get hit with new transfer news. And, you know, this player left and went to so-and-so team. Another player left, and they're all big-name players, right?
Right.
This year, all we're getting is rumors.
Right.
There hasn't been that there many big been. Spenders.
And how long have I been nagging you about the one from Sporting KC?
Sporting Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City.
Gianluca Buzio.
Yeah, it's been a rumor for the past week and a half. I'm like waiting. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat waiting for this kid to go to Venezia.
Still hasn't happened. Right. I mean, listen, the contract is in the works, but it just goes to show you, like, we're so hung up on this Gianluca Buzio transfer, right? He's a good player. Great.
He's young. He's 19. Not, right. He's up and coming. I'm excited for him, right?
Right. The talent is there, but usually, any other year, you wouldn't even hear of who Venezia's buying or know who Gianluca Buzio is. Because when it comes to the grand scale of the transfer market, that's just news that you don't get to.
Right. And by the way, I got to give a shout out to your cousin, Josh, who turned me on to this kid.
Really?
Yes.
Turns you on real well, I bet.
Yes, he does.
Listen, it just goes to show you, like I said, any transfer that is happening now is catching our ears or eyes, whatever, you know, whether you listen right. to it or you read it, because they're just not happening that often. So there's 5 teams right now that are leading European football in transfers. Amount spent in transfers, at least, anyway.
Right.
You know what those teams are?
Let me take a guess. AC Milan.
They're up there. They're one of them, yep.
Manchester City.
They are not up there.
Before
you guess any other big teams, a few of them are big teams, but the rest of them might shock you. So this is what we're looking at this year. So far, leading in amount spent in transfers is RB Leipzig from the Bundesliga, okay? They've spent 92 million euros so far. Behind them, we have PSG, who have spent 76 million euros so far.
And you would think with the names that they grabbed, it would have been higher than $76 million.
That's the beauty of it. When we get into PSG's transfers in a little bit, we'll show you how smart they've actually been
right.
with the players that they've acquired. Third on the list, we have AC Milan, your favorite team.
My team.
They've spent 58 million euros. Fourth on the list, we have Leicester City, 50 million euros. Yep, they've spent 50 million euros. And then, fifth on our list, we have Marseille, who've spent 45 million euros.
Where are they from?
Ligue 1, France. So we have a Bundesliga team, Ligue 1 team, Serie A team, Premier League team, and another Ligue 1 team. Kind of funny that you don't see any of the Spanish teams on here, huh?
No.
It's crazy.
The Leicester one makes sense. Spent $50 million last 2 years. They've been in fifth place. Want to try to make a quick jump?
That's the plan. I mean, listen, we all remember the fairy tale story of, what was it, the 2014-15 season?
Was it
15-16 season?
It's 15, it
was the 15-16 season. So, listen, we all remember that fairy tale season, right? They were 5,000-1 odds to win the Prem.
5,000 or 10,000-1 odds. All I remember seeing that guy's face that had bet it was like 10,000 euros on them.
Yep. And so it was 5,000-1 odds on them.
Okay. It was.
It was 5,000-1. And I feel like they've never recovered since they won it. It was almost as if winning the Premier League and jumping into other competitions, for example, Champions League, Europa League, they didn't have the squad for it,
right.
is what it seemed
like.
It
was just a fairy tale win for them.
They did it their second season in the Prem.
Right.
So they got promoted the season before. So they played, 14-15 they played in the Prem. And then that means 13-14 they were playing in the Championship. So they played in the Championship League, got promoted, played 1 year in the Prem, won it the second year.
Right.
They didn't have any other foreign competitions that they were playing in.
Right, right.
listen, at the end of the day, those competitions take a stress on a team.
Oh, I'm sure.
You're traveling more. Absolutely. You're training more, playing more minutes. If you don't have a deep squad for it, I mean, look at all the greats that usually win the Champions League. Your Real Madrid, your Barcelona's, your Chelsea's, Manchester United, AC Milan back in the day.
Yeah.
Those squads ran deep.
Deep. So, yeah, you're right.
And that will prove a point with these transfers. So let's start with the number one on our list that spent 92 million euro. We'll go with RB Leipzig. Fun fact, if you had a guess, when would you say RB Leipzig was founded?
1892.
Ready to get your mind blown?
Yeah.
So RB Leipzig is actually a fairly new team. They were founded in 2009.
Really?
2009 they were founded. And listen, they're just under good management. Slowly but surely, they've been climbing up. And last year, they finished in second place behind Bayern Munich. But there was a point in that season where, you know, they were chasing Bayern Munich pretty well.
I got a fun fact for you, too.
What?
Where is their coach from?
Who's Leipzig's coach?
Jesse Marsh.
Jesse Marsh. Is he Scotland?
It's American.
It's American.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. See, that one I did not know. We got fun facts. Hope you guys are learning something. So, RB Leipzig finished 13 points behind Bayern in second. They had 60 goals for in the season. They had 32 goals against.
That's phenomenal numbers right there.
32 goals against, okay, was the best defense in the Bundesliga last season. Bundesliga, German league, for those of you that are listening for the first time. That's huge.
That is huge. I think that's huge for any league if you really think about it. That's a huge...
Well, some leagues are different, as we'll see later on in this episode. But, you know, hey, 32 goals against, that's strong.
Yeah.
That's huge for them. Obviously, if they had the best defense and they still couldn't win it, that means this offseason they had to do what?
Strikers, get some forwards, some wingers.
Get some firepower.
Get some power.
Right? So let's look at this list of who Leipzig has gotten so far. Their biggest signing, money-wise at least, is André Silva.
From Portugal.
Correct. Now, I don't know if you remember his stint at AC Milan.
Slightly.
Kind of a failure, yeah. Right? He hasn't been that good in the Bundesliga either. He was playing at Frankfurt
right
before arriving. So this one kind of blows my mind a little bit, because how do you know you need to score more. How do you go out and sign a guy that scores one goal every 109 minutes?
That's insane. How much did they spend?
They spent, so I have the fee in dollars. We should probably do the conversion to euro later on. But in dollars, it comes out to 25.3 mil.
Wow.
So 25.3 mil for a guy that scores one goal every 109 minutes. Now, granted, he was playing for Frankfurt. So maybe on a better team, he could score more. But like I said, just seeing from what I saw of him at AC Milan, I don't think so. In Italian, we would say they bought new bidon. They bought a trash can. That's how I look at it. André Silva, when he came onto the scene, was supposed to be one of the biggest stars in international football, right? For Portugal.
Right.
He's flopped.
And not even that. Looking at his stats, when he played for Liga Portugal, he was scoring one goal per 226 minutes.
But he was also younger back then.
Right.
So it's a little bit different. Now he's 25. You're supposed to be in your prime. And remember, at one point, they were comparing this guy to Ronaldo. They were saying he was going to be the next Ronaldo. I don't know who said that and what they saw, but it's been a failure.
Now, granted, he had one goal per 109 minutes, right?
Yes.
He ended the season, or his total while in Bundesliga is 40 goals. So how many years has he been in Bundesliga?
He's been in Bundesliga 2 or 3 years, I believe. Okay. Still, 40 goals. He has, what, 58 appearances?
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
That's crazy.
It's just not enough.
Ibrahimovic at 41, I think, had 17 goals last season.
Right.
And he was hurt. He got hurt at the end of the season.
He played half of the season and had almost, you know, a goal per game.
And you're going to hear it first. We got breaking news. Ibrahimovic is, in fact, a Lion.
Well, we could talk more about him when we get to AC Milan. So look, with Leipzig, I don't know if I agree with this signing. I mean, they need forwards. There's no denying that. I just don't know if André Silva was the guy to get you over that hump.
I mean, they did pick up a left midfielder.
Again, though.
Right.
It's not... Right now, they have Poulsen playing up top. I don't know if André Silva is going to be able to do more or work in synchrony with Poulsen. That's just the way that I see it.
Well, here's my prediction.
Let me hear it.
Caden Clark who also was transferred there from Minnesota, 18 years old. He's going to be their firepower.
He's a midfielder, though.
He's an attacking midfielder.
Still, not the striker position. Come on, man. We know the who the great strikers are. No midfielder is going to fill that void. And also, he's only played in Major League Soccer. I don't see Caden Clark starting anytime soon.
No, no. But you know, good for him coming over.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
18 years old. He's going to get great experience.
It's great to see these U.S. Internationals overseas to play the game.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to get more experience playing overseas than they will here in the MLS. And I stand by that all the time. And I hate the MLS.
And it's going to translate for the national team because right. they're going to get that top-notch competition playing in Europe. And then they're going to bring it back when they get together for the national team. And you never know. They could put up a good show for the World Cup.
I think we're thinking too far ahead and we're being too optimistic there. I'm just being honest. The USA national team is still young, but we're digressing too much.
Let's go.
So let's go back. Their next biggest signing was Josko Gvardiol from Dinamo Zagreb. 19-year-old defender. Kid's supposed to be phenomenal. We already said Leipzig had one of the best defenses in the league. So I'm all for that. I mean, listen, if you got a good thing going, add more pieces to it,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Your defense is your strongest part. Let's keep it going.
Well, maybe their ideology here is let's only get two goals scored against us and we'll just try to pop in a goal here and a goal there and try to get 3 points every game and not have to worry about having a power striker.
Yeah. How did defending the game out work for England in the Euro 2020 final?
Not fantastic.
Exactly. So it's a failed strategy. Listen, he's going to be joining a good defense. I don't think he's going to start right away. Obviously, it's an investment for the future. And he's actually going to be pairing up with the guy that was already there, but now they made the signing official, Anelinho from Man City. So right. Anelinho is a little bit of a different scenario. He could play defense. He could play outside mid. It'll be exciting to see what they end up doing with him. I believe last season he was playing more as an outside midfielder.
Correct.
They also bought another defender, Mohamed Simakan from Strasbourg, Ligue 1, $16.5 million. So like we were saying before, just fortifying what they already have going for them. And then to the player that you mentioned, Caden Clark.
You missed the other defender, the right back, Henricks.
That's right. I forgot they bought Henricks. And Henricks, I'm actually excited about. Henricks, I've watched him play a few times. The kid's good. Kid. I mean, he's 24 now. Still a kid, but the kid's good. He's coming over from Monaco for 16.5 mil. He's another good addition. So it looks like Leipzig needed firepower, but all they ended up doing was becoming more of a defensive team this offseason.
But if you look at these transfers, what they're looking for here is they're looking for, I think, the long haul. They're all young kids. They're young players.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you need to build for the future.
Right.
And if they feel like these guys are going to pay off in the long run, I agree with it. Even Caden Clark. Caden Clark, 18 years old, right? He was there last season. They're bringing him up again. So, I mean, they made it official now. They actually purchased him from the Red Bulls.
Right.
So
he was on loan.
Leipzig, second last year. With the additions they've made so far and the money that they've spent, I don't think they'll even come into second. That's my take on it.
Okay.
I see them coming maybe top five.
Well, we'll have to revisit that next August.
Yeah, but and I don't see first.
Or actually,
second.
Next August, next May. That's when their season ends.
Correct. All right, moving on. Let's go over to PSG.
They made some huge, huge moves.
And there's a few rumors swirling around. So let's go over what they've actually done so far. Biggest signing that they've spent so far. So PSG, real quick, before we go into their signings, second place last year, which to me is hysterical. A team with Neymar, Mbappe, Di Maria, Verratti should not come in second place to anybody.
No.
Okay. So they finished second, 1 point behind Lille, which credit to Lille, they had a good season. All right. Still funny that they finished. PSG finished second. They scored 86 goals. 86.
Yeah, and they finished second.
That's ridiculous, though.
It is.
All right? This is why I was saying before, don't get too excited about Leipzig's defense. PSG only gave up 28 goals.
That's incredible.
That is incredible. Listen, PSG, I feel like they suffered from having to play in the Champions League. They have so much pressure on them in the Champions League to win it because they really are the top-spending team in Europe,
right.
I would say.
Yeah, I mean, you want to compare New York Yankees, right? In the past, they used to spend all this money to win, and they had to win.
Right.
If they didn't win, it was a failure of a season.
But think about it, you know, in soccer terms, look at like the AC Milans, Manchester United's, when they spent, they would win. Right now, we have PSG and even like Man City. They're spending and they're not winning. You know, right. Even Liverpool spent and won. These two teams are just not winning. PSG is one of them. And, you know, they made a final 2 years ago. It's just a curse for them.
Right.
They can't seem to pull it together. So their first signing, Achraf Hakimi,
right back,
coming over from Inter, who, listen, we watched this guy play all season. He's one hell of a player.
Yeah, yes.
How Real Madrid ever let him go is beyond me. Okay. They had him when he was a 20, 21. So that just boggles my mind. This guy came over for $66 million.
That's incredible. But Inter needed the money, so they probably shot high. And
listen, you knew Inter wasn't going to sell Lukaku. You knew Inter wasn't going to sell Barella. Okay, those guys are their young players that fit the system that they're trying to build. Not saying that Hakimi didn't fit it, but they knew they could turn Hakimi into some money for themselves. Right. Danilo Pereira, next money signing, $17.6 million. So Pereira was actually already there, but he was on loan. So they just made the loan official.
Okay.
He's coming over from Porto, $17.6 million, 29-year-old defensive midfielder. Listen, Pereira's a stud.
He's in his prime.
I don't know if I would call, well, with today's football, 29 could still be your prime.
He's in his prime.
Yeah. He's a stud. He's a beast. Tackling, winning balls, his passes, his vision, he's got it all.
Right.
So I'm not nervous about their Pereira signing. I think it was smart. These next three cost them nothing, but I think they're going to be difference makers on this PSG squad. They got Jorginho Wijnaldum coming in from Liverpool at 30 years old on a free transfer. That's huge.
Right.
Wijnaldum was a great player for Liverpool, and he's going to be a great player for PSG. Then Sergio Ramos left Real Madrid and came over to PSG, again, on a free transfer.
Now, mind you, he's 35 years old. That's not why they brought him over. They brought him over for the leadership and the experience for the kid, for the younger players.
This guy could still play. I got news for you. You say they brought him over for the leadership and the experience. Yeah, he's won a lot with Real Madrid. Nobody's taken away that experience and leadership from him, but this guy could still play. We talk about how Bonucci and Chiellini, you know, are a great pair in the Euro Cup for Juventus. This guy's just as good as them, and he's just as old. That's my opinion on it, at least.
No, I know. Yeah, he's a great player. He's phenomenal.
Ramos, when you're going up against him, instills the fear of God in you.
Did he shave, or is he coming in with the vintage Jesus Christ look?
He looks the same. Ramos looks the same, and I got to say, I like his look. This next one is the biggest signing that PSG could have made.
This is the biggest signing I think any team made.
And the fact that it's on a free transfer blows my mind. Okay, Gianluigi Donnarumma, former goalkeeper of AC Milan, at 22 years old, who started for AC Milan at 17 years old, is now playing for PSG.
And I've said it before, I think he's the best goalkeeper in the world.
Hands down, there is no doubt that Donnarumma is the best keeper in the world, one of the most talented, and he's still only 22. That's the scary part.
Right. You know what sucks about the situation is that he's going to PSG, and that league isn't televised as much as the Premier League or Serie A, and we're not going to be able to see him as much as we did before. It's sad.
You think PSG bought these guys to promote Ligue 1?
No, of course not. They got these guys so they can win their championship.
League. Right. Yeah. So people are going to watch Champions League. Don't you worry.
Oh, it'll be on, yeah.
People are going to see how great this team is. And it's just crazy to think about these players. Hakimi, Pereira, Wijnaldum, Ramos, Donnarumma. I'll take Pereira out of there because he was already there. And he's not star level as the rest of them. But they're going to be playing with Neymar, Verratti, Mbappe. Mauro Icardi still plays forward for PSG. This is huge. This reminds me of the old school Galacticos, when Real Madrid would just go out and sign the best players in the world. That's really what it reminds me of.
So I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to say they go undefeated for 25 games before they get their first loss.
No shot. That's your prediction. That's fine. They're going to lose one early on. A team with this much talent has to learn how to play together. There's no way that they're going to be able to go undefeated right off the bat. At least that's my opinion. However, Champions League is a different story.
Right.
I'm excited for them, man.
All right, what's next on this list?
Next on the list, we got AC Milan. So, AC Milan last year, huge for the first time in, what, 5-6 years?
Yeah.
Came in second place and qualified for the Champions League.
That's right.
That was huge for them. They only came behind Inter Milan. So, you know, the Milans are starting to dominate Serie A again, which I believe you were the one telling me this. Serie A is back. The league was great when the Milans used to dominate. And as a Napoli fan, I hate to say it, but...
But it's not just the Milans. It's the Lazios. It's the Napolis. Juventus. These teams are powerhouses. They really are. You put these teams, separate them, and put them in different leagues, I think they're contention for first place. Maybe not France, but Premiership, La Liga in Spain.
The Premier League.
I'm thinking something else. I was going to mention MLS, but forget that.
MLS, anybody could win.
But these teams, these top seven teams, they're going to be exciting to watch again. It's going to remind me of being a kid and watching every Sunday. You always watched the best teams on Rai Uno. It was unbelievable. So I'm excited for this.
Look, well, second half of our episode is going to be diving in to who we think are going to finish top of the league in Serie A. Each week until the season starts, we'll give you our predictions. This week we're starting with Serie A, so we could discuss it then, Ant.
Yeah, we'll discuss it.
So AC Milan, second place. They had 74 goals for, 41 against. And their defense, I think it was tied for third or fourth in Serie A, which isn't too bad. All right, 74 goals for. They were up there. I believe they were second or third for goals scored. They scored 79 points, man. Problem is, Inter was just dominant last season. So even though they finished second, they were 12 points behind Inter Milan.
Right.
Which, that's a big gap you got to fill.
So it is a big gap.
I could see why AC Milan is spending. So let's break into AC Milan's acquisitions. You got Tomori, who was at AC Milan last season, but he was there on loan. He decided he didn't want to be a part of Chelsea. And that's crazy to me because Chelsea just won the Champions League.
Exactly.
So I would be like, oh, I got a chance to play for another Champions League contender. Take me back. Nope. He wanted to stay at AC Milan. So AC Milan got him for 32.12 mil. Then you have, obviously, we just talked about Donnarumma leaving. You have to replace Donnarumma, right? So who do they go out and get? They go get Mike Maignan, 25-year-old goalkeeper coming from the Ligue 1 champions, Lille.
Right.
Kid's good.
They got him for 27.5 million, right?
14.3.
Okay.
Mike came over for 14.3. Okay. Guy's good, man. And he's got some big gloves to fill.
Exactly. Big gloves.
I think he's going to need some adjustments being in Serie A, but he's going to make it work. I'll be excited to see him. Then obviously Tonali was there last season on loan from Brescia. That became official. So his acquisition was for 7.5 mil. Then you have Balotore, left back. I've heard a lot of good things about this kid. Okay. Another 24-year-old. He's coming over from Monaco. 5.5 mil. Brahim Diaz. This is the one I'm excited about the most. 21 years old. Real Madrid comes back to Milan for another season. Once again, Real Madrid letting all these little starlets go. You can't call them starlets, but they got potential.
Yeah, they do.
Hold on to them. Roll your own team for once. No, they just go out and spend money and buy whoever they want. Hey, Real Madrid, how's Eden Hazard working out for you? Let us know.
Not too good.
Raheem Diaz came back. He got his feet wet with AC Milan last season. He ended up playing a decent amount. This year he's got the number 10. Got some big shoes to fill.
Yes, he does.
Listen, the number 10s of Milan, that's some pressure on you.
Yes.
And then last but not least, Olivier Giroud, 34 years old, coming over from Chelsea. Milan got him for 1 mil, okay? This guy could still play, man.
Yeah, he can.
My only issue is AC Milan keeps going after all these old strikers. Ibrahimovic, Mandzukic.
Whoa, Ibrahimovic isn't old. He's 41. He's going to play till he's 50. He's the Tom Brady of European soccer. He was third on goal scorers list for Serie A this year.
Listen, he's good.
He's my favorite signing. I love him. He's one of my favorites to watch. He's my son's favorite.
Ibrahimovic re-signed last summer, Ant. They didn't sign him. He re-signed last year.
No. There was only 1 year, and then it was again.
I'm going to fact check you on that in a little bit.
Go for it.
But the team's there.
Yeah.
They got the experience that they need. Giroud's just coming from Chelsea, who won a Champions League. So he's bringing that over with them. They're all behind Pioli, the coach. They're spending 58 mil. They got some quality players. Inter's obviously losing. They lost their coach. They lost Hakimi. We'll have to see what else happens with the rest of the transfer market. Milan could make a push to go up to first.
They can.
So it'll definitely be exciting to see. Fourth on our list, Leicester. We talked about their fairy tale story, how great they were. You know, they've been stuck in that fifth place. It's almost like purgatory. They want to get back into either winning or Champions League. So they've spent 50 mil so far. Who do they end up getting? 22-year-old Daka from Salzburg, 33 mil. I'm for it.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a awesome addition. He's got some speed.
The guy's the flash in real life.
Right. If we had thought that Saka and Sancho were fast, or even Sterling, who's got some wheels, this kid's going to, you know, run right by everybody.
Daka's a good addition for them. Center forward, I'm excited to see what he can do. Then they got Soumare from Lille. Defensive midfielder, 22 years old. So once again, looks like here they're all going for those young players to build for the future. But right. These guys are going to be difference makers right off the rip. Looks like Lille won Ligue 1 and they're having a fire sale.
Yeah, I'm wondering what's going on there. If they went broke and they're looking to catch up or what? Or if they're just content with the championship and call it a day.
Making their money now, rebuilding for the future. Sometimes when a small team like that wins it, you know, you just got to rebuild.
Miami Marlins did it. Right. They won. The minute they won, they broke the team down.
Hey, it happens. And then, obviously, they're going to have a free transfer as well. A lot of teams have. Ryan Bertrand from Southampton. 31 years old, left back, good player. I think Leicester's downfall was when they lost Conte. Okay? Obviously, we know what N'Golo Conte has done at Chelsea. Winning the Champions League, winning a World Cup with France. And they're talking about this kid qualifying for the Ballon d'Or this year. So they really need to find somebody to be able to fill what Conte used to do for them. I mean, they still got Jamie Vardy up top. Vardy's a good player. I don't know how to say it. I don't think it's going to help. These signings aren't going to, they've spent a lot, but I don't think these signings are going to help them get out of fifth.
Maybe jump up to third. Maybe. That's a hard maybe.
Yeah. I just don't know if I see it. All right. And last but not least, we're going to go to Marseille. So we're back in Ligue 1. They also finished in fifth place. 54 goals for, 47 goals against. They finished with 60 points and 23 points behind the champions.
That's a huge gap.
That's a huge gap. And to be honest, I don't think their 45 mil that they've spent will be enough to close that gap.
I don't think so.
There's no way.
There's no way.
So they bought Gerson over from Flamengo, all right, the Brazilian league. I don't know if you remember Gerson, but he played for Roma about 2-3 years ago when he was younger.
No, I don't. I don't remember him.
This kid to me is like another Andre Silva, just a flop. So much potential, but they only do well in their native leagues, you know, Portugal or, as in Gerson's case, in Brazil. I don't see him doing anything that special. They got Balerdi, center back from Dortmund. This kid can be good. He has potential. I think he can develop into being a very, very good defender. Half Italian, half Argentinian. So football's in his blood for sure.
Absolutely.
We'll have to see what happens there. Then they got another center back, Perez from Santos. Same thing. 26-year-old kid. I just don't know if I see it. You're taking a risk buying these Brazilian players playing in a Brazilian league and trying to get them used to the speed of the game. It's not going to be easy. So, you know, they're buying these Brazilians, maybe hoping to find the next Neymar, but I don't know if it's going to translate over. You know, you've had some great Brazilians in the league, but they earned being great by playing in La Liga, Serie A, the Premier League, before you brought them over to France. These guys coming straight from Brazil, it's high risk, high reward. That's the way I look at it.
You know, not only that, but the style of play in Brazil is completely different than it is in France. It's completely different than it is in Germany, in Italy. So these kids are going to have to, like you said before, they might have been very good
back home.
But now when they come, adapt. They're going to have to adapt. You know, look, if they can adapt, they'll become good players. If they can't, then you know what happens.
Listen, South American football is all about your footwork, your speed, your strength. Okay. European football, I feel like, is very more so tactical. Yes, it still involves all those things, your footwork, strength, speed, but it's so much more tactical than...
Well, for me, to compare the two, you know, watching the Euro Cup and then...
Copa America.
Copa America was on. It was I was watching two totally different styles of soccer. You had one that was, you know, crisp, clean passing, like you said, tactical, moving up and down the field, which was the European teams. Then I'm watching the South American teams, and it's fast. It's like watching a war without weapons.
Yep, that's exactly that what it seems like. So, you know, well, it'll be interesting to see how these guys integrate into the team. And then Marseille also picked up a 19-year-old USA international, Conrad De La Fuente. So Spanish and American. We'll see what ends up happening with him. He's coming over from Barcelona B, 3.3 mil. If they can develop him, great. You know, maybe we get something good out of him. But
we'll see.
I don't know. I feel like Marseille spent a whole lot of money on a whole lot of nothing.
And they're not going to catch up.
Nah.
There's no way. They're going against PSG. I mean, all the rest of the teams just pack up their stuff and go home.
You still got Lille. You got Lyon.
Well, Lille's dumping their players like they're on fire, so.
But Lille still got a squad, all right? They still have the guys, the core group of guys that helped them win last year. I can't say they'll do it again, but I think they'll compete in the league. I see Lille coming in a second or a third.
Maybe. We'll see.
We'll save that for when we talk about Ligue 1. But all right, Ant, how about we take a little anchor break and then we come back and talk about our predictions for Serie A?
Sounds like a plan.
All right, and we're back. Promise you guys I fact-checked Anthony. And we discovered that he was talking about the year 2021. And I was talking about last year as a soccer season. So yes, Ibrahimovic did re-sign one more year with AC Milan on April 22nd, 2021.
Hopefully he retires with them when he's 50.
Hey, if the guy can play till he's 50, more power to him.
Franco Baresi played, I think, until he was 44 years old.
Not at that high of a level. Ibrahimovic is doing things that have just never been seen before in soccer. We thought when this guy came to the MLS 4 years ago, 3 years, whatever. No, five years ago. When he came to the MLS, we thought that was it. He was about to retire. He was done. Instead, this guy comes to the MLS and he goes, I realized that I was playing with a bunch of guys that couldn't keep up with me, so I went back to Europe.
Right.
That's insane.
Insane.
And I'll never forget
I think he just came over here for vacation for a few months. That's all that was.
Just to rest his mind, get his body back in shape. Get it back in
shape. He wasn't getting beat up the way he was getting beat up back home.
Do you remember his first game with Galaxy? He came on as a sub. Right away, scored two golazos.
Yeah.
Phenomenal guy. I love Ibra, man. Oh, I love his personality. Yeah, I love his character. I don't know if he's the best team player sometimes. I feel like in his older age, he's gotten better at it.
He's gotten better at it. Ibra
was not that much of a team player.
I think after his first stint with AC Milan and having Fabio Capello as his coach, that's when he started getting better. I think Fabio took him under his wing because before that, his own teammates hated to play with him.
All right.
Anyways.
So, one of the exciting players of Serie A, let's go into our predictions for the 21-22 season for Serie A.
Let's go for it.
Like I said, everyone, we're going to be making this a weekly thing. Today we're doing Serie A just because it's the league we're most knowledgeable about. But we're going to do our research and get back to you for every other major league in European football so that we could give you what our predictions are. And we'll see how they match up at the end of the seasons.
Sounds like a plan to me.
All right. Let's start with fifth place.
For me, I feel like Roma is going to land in the fifth place.
Really?
I feel like they're making some moves. They were making some moves in the last season, and I think maybe they're going to capitalize on it and get up there. But they got way too much competition in front of them to get any further than that.
I mean, it'll be very interesting because Mourinho.
Yeah, I know.
He's the great one.
I know.
This guy.
I love him.
Everything he has touched in Serie A, and he's only touched Inter, but has turned to gold. So, I'm hoping it'd be exciting to see him do the same with Roma. But all right, you have him fifth.
Who do you have fifth?
So, my fifth place team is going to be a little bit out of left field. I have Fiorentina finishing fifth.
Well, I can see that too. Yeah, I see that.
I think Fiorentina, they have the players. The talent is there.
Right.
Okay? They have that young forward. Who is it? Lalovic, I believe.
I can't pronounce the name.
We know.
Okay. Josh will destroy me. He'll call me up and say, you got to learn how to pronounce these names.
At the end of the day, none of us know how to pronounce these names. We try the best we can. But I believe it's Vlahovic. And young forward who gained a lot of interest from other teams.
Yep.
As far as I know, he's still on Fiorentina. He's going to be dangerous, a force to be reckoned with this season. They got Vincenzo Italiano as their coach, who what this guy did with Spezia, for me, was remarkable. Okay, Spezia's a weak team on paper. This guy nudged out 32 wins with Spezia, though, in his time coaching them.
To me, looking from the outside, I felt like these guys played for him. He got to bring out the best out of these players.
But even he did. And if you look at, go back and look at some of the Spezia games, Italiano got them in a position to where, yeah, even if they weren't scoring, they were giving the other team trouble. Right. To begin with. You know, obviously against the bigs, they fell. But Italiano just has that old school mentality of, all right, if we're not going to beat him, at least let's knock him around a little bit. I think he's going to do great things with Fiorentina. And this is a team we've been talking about for years that, you know, they have the potential to climb up. They never do.
They always have the potential because they always, for some strange reason, breed one great player every few years.
Their issue but is then, their,
and they get rid of them.
Their issue is the carousel of coaches.
Right.
And I think Italiano is going to finally bring that stability that will allow them to succeed. Listen, for all I know, I could be wrong, and that won't happen. But that's just my prediction for fifth. So you got Roma, I got Fiorentina. Who do you got next?
You ready for my fourth place?
Let's see. What's your fourth place?
Your head's probably going to explode.
Say it. I dare you.
I have Inter.
Ooh.
Inter Milan.
Fourth. Okay. Why?
Listen, they're good. Don't get me wrong, okay? They won last year, but I think the three teams in front of them are slightly better. Who's your fourth?
So, for my fourth, I'm actually going to have AC Milan. And not because I don't believe in them. I just think the added pressure of competing in Champions League is going to get to them a little bit.
Yeah, they're going to get tired. They're going to, you know, be run down.
Right.
You know, have to play catch up.
We're going to see some of their younger players, more inexperienced players playing in Serie A this season, just because a lot of their stars are the older guys.
Right.
And, you know, playing in Champions League, Coppa Italia, okay, your regular Serie A games, we're not going to see them all the time.
Right.
They're going to get tired. They need their rest. So I think AC Milan with both competitions, they're going to qualify for Champions League again. However, it's going to take them some time.
Okay. I could partially agree with you on that. So
hold up. I want to correct myself. I said it's going to take them some time. It's going to take some time to adjust playing all those competitions.
I understood what you meant.
I wanted to finish my statement.
Everybody else understood what you said. So we are at number
three.
Number three for me is Juve.
Wow. Okay. Why?
Why? You know, just because.
You have them going up just one spot this year.
Just one spot.
From fourth to third. Okay.
Because my number two is going to be my number two, and then number one, it's going to blow your mind, so it doesn't matter. So Juve, because.
I dare you to say Venezia, I'll leave this podcast show.
No. Okay. Forget it. Get out of here, Venezia. Venezia probably finished four from the bottom.
I think they get relegated. But anyway.
Whatever. Yeah, Juve's got a good team, but I don't know. There's just something I'm thinking third place. That's it.
I don't see it, man. Allegri's back, okay? Allegri's back. Chiesa just had the Euro tournament of his life. Bonucci and Chiellini proved that they're still studs.
I get it.
De Ligt waiting in the back on defense, okay? With Allegri back, we're going to see a Dybala that we haven't seen in 2 years, okay? Cristiano Ronaldo is still on that squad.
For now.
Weston, I think he's going to stay. Weston McKennie proved last year that he deserves to play with the best. Okay?
He belongs.
He belongs. This team is much better than you're giving it credit for, in my opinion. And I'm probably going to get crucified by all my Napoli fan friends for even saying that. But they got a good squad.
Now, you remember, I do certain things to rub people the wrong way. So
okay.
we have a lot of people to listen to, the huge Juventus fans. So.
I know.
Third place.
All right, third place.
Who's your third place?
So in my third place, I actually have Inter Milan. You had them at fourth. I have them at third. I just don't see Inter being able to replicate what they did last season, especially with Inzaghi as their coach. I don't like him.
Yeah, no, listen, that's why I threw him a fourth.
Losing Hakimi is definitely huge. However, picking up Çalhanoğlu from AC Milan, adding him in the midfield, that's a huge piece. But I think playing under Inzaghi, they're going to have to readjust, okay? We still don't know if they're done selling. They're in some financial trouble.
Yes, so they are.
Might have to sell off some more pieces.
I don't know. We won't really know about that till the end of August.
Right.
But.
And Handanović is only getting older. So they're also playing two competitions. I don't see them being able to keep up with it.
Yeah, third or fourth place. Yeah, that sounds about right.
I just see him in third. And I think, you know, Lukaku is going to go off for another season, but they're going to get tired.
Yeah, for
sure. Last year, they got knocked out of Champions League early. They didn't have to play. This year, they're going to need a deeper squad. They're champions of Italy. They need to do Serie A proud and make a run in Champions League.
You have to.
You know, for as much as we pick on Juventus for never winning it, there's one thing we could say about Juventus, and it's that they always made a run in Champions League.
Right.
So if you were going to go out and win Serie A to get knocked out of Champions League in the group stages, do us a favor and don't win it ever again.
Right.
Okay.
So, my number two.
Let's hear it.
You ready for it?
Napoli.
AC Milan.
Really?
Yeah. Listen, I love AC Milan. I love Ibrahimovic. They are missing the key to this success. Donnarumma. That's the adjustment that they're going to have to make now. Their safety net is gone. Okay? So they might surprise me. They might win the whole thing. But I really think they'll come in second place.
Okay. I mean, I'd be surprised to see them come in second again. But I could also see your point. Again, for me, for AC Milan, it just goes to their depth. I don't see them having depth, and their competition, you know, playing three competitions is going to take a toll on them. But you know what? AC Milan was a Cinderella story last year. There's no reason they couldn't do it again.
Exactly. And they picked up some good pieces. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Nobody went into last season expecting AC Milan to be in first for so long or even finishing second.
No,
so listen, it's possible. It's possible. All right, I'll give you that.
Who's your number two?
Napoli.
Okay.
So I have my favorite team, Napoli, in at number two. This is a stretch because Napoli haven't made any signings yet. However, Meret's only getting better. He just hung out with Donnarumma at the Euro Cup for about a month and a half, so I hope he learned something from him, okay? Our midfield, I don't mind it. I like where we're at in our midfield with Fabian Ruiz and Diego Demme. I'm not sure if Bakayoko's coming back, but you know what? We could do without him. We have Stanislav Lobotka, who's barely ever played, but he's a good player. And if Spalletti can get him right, I think this guy could be a key contributor to this squad. Up top, last year we didn't see him much because of COVID and injuries, but, you know, we have Victor Osimhen.
Unreal.
The guy's unreal.
Last five games, five goals.
Yeah, yeah. The guy's good. And, you know, Spalletti is talking about turning him into a winger. So that might even be better for him because of his speed. We'll see what happens. We have...
Is Mertens going to come back anytime
soon? Mertens is still on Napoli. So, you know, Mertens is coming off the bench, though.
He's also coming off injury, too.
Right. But Mertens, listen, at this point in his career, he's just a player coming off the bench. He's no longer the difference maker for us. But his experience with the team and Serie A does help us. You know, he's been there since the Benitez era. So 2013, 14, whatever it was. I love our wings. We have Lozano, Insigne, Politano, okay? These guys are difference makers on the field. We saw what Insigne did in the Euro Cup. I hope he brings that over to him.
I think this was his breakout year. The past season into the Euros,
right.
It was Insigne's breakout
year. With all the injuries we had, we needed somebody to step up, you know? The biggest question mark Napoli have is on defense. And especially with all the trade rumors of Koulibaly leaving, you know, that scares me. I'm pretty sure Maksimovic isn't re-signed at the moment. So we're playing with Manolas and Rahmani. I don't know how that's going to go. This team could fight for first if we had the right pieces. But we're not adding anything right now. All we added was a new coach. And I respect Spalletti. I like Spalletti. I don't know if he's going to win us anything, but I think he's going to get us close, which is why I'm projecting them to finish second.
Second. So my first, like I said before, is going to blow your mind. It's not Venezia. It's not Spezia. It's Napoli.
That does blow my mind.
It's
why?
Not. Because, like I just said, Insigne had a breakout year with the season, the Euros, coming back. He'll resign, okay? But the key to all of this is Osimhen. The two of them are going to be beautiful to watch.
I hope you're right.
They were always contending last season. It was just a matter of a game or two games. And at the end of the season, two games behind, right? At the end of the season. I'm telling you, this is their year.
I'm saying this now. Last year, we missed out on Champions League again because of a Verona team. Just like the English fans made a petition to replay Italy because the game was unfair.
You want
to
do a petition?
I'm starting a petition to ban all Verona teams, okay? Hellas Verona and Chievo Verona from Serie A ever again. Those teams are like our dark horses. I don't ever want to see them. I don't want to hear about them. They could all go to hell for all I care, all right? Seems like Napoli's always losing to a Verona side for whatever reason. All right, rant over. But look,
that's my team. I knew that... When I told you, you'd be surprised. You probably thought I was going to pick AC Milan to run away with this thing.
I didn't think you were going to pick AC Milan. I am surprised that you picked Napoli.
Honestly, I think Napoli has what it takes. They don't have the star power of Juventus. Or, you know, obviously, they can compete with Inter and AC Milan, but Juventus has the biggest star power out of all the teams. But I think Napoli is going to do it. They're going to take off and run with it.
It's just going to be tough because Spalletti's a first-year coach at Napoli, and we saw what happened with Spalletti and Totti at Roma as Totti started to get older. My fear is that he's going to have a fallout with Insigne at some point because Insigne is hitting 30. No, Insigne is 30. So it just worries me. I hope you're right. As a Napoli fan, Ant, I hope you're right. There's nothing more. If Napoli wins the Scudetto, I'll buy you a plane ticket so you can fly with me to Napoli to celebrate the Scudetto.
Sounds like a deal.
But it ain't going to happen. So that leaves with my number one. Out of all the teams
that I guess?
Mentioned. Yeah, go ahead.
Brescia. Bologna.
I'll have Brescia win it if Robbie Baggio comes back. No. Number one, it's Juventus. And for the reasons I stated before, they have the team. I think this year we're going to see the resurgence of Dybala, okay? With now a woken up Chiesa and Dybala, the team's going to be different. You still got Cristiano Ronaldo on this squad, who, for as old as he is, he's still putting up numbers.
Yes.
All right. The guy is—he's a freak. It's the only way to describe it.
I could be wrong. You might have to fact check me, but the top three goal scorers of Serie A last year, number one and number three, are in their one is in their 30s, the other one's in their 40s.
Correct.
I forget who number two was. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Was it Lukaku?
Oh, yes, you're right.
It was Lukaku.
Was he 28?
So. He's 27, 28. Yeah. No, look. He could still contribute a lot to this team if he does end up staying, which I think he will. Defensively is my only concern if anything were to happen with Bonucci and Chiellini. But De Ligt is there. It's just in all these competitions that they're going to be playing in, you know Juve doesn't play Champions League to lose.
Right.
They want to try
They're going
to
be run down. I think they're going to be the team that's going to be the most run down out of all of them.
See, I don't see that. Juve has one thing, in my opinion. I know a lot of Juve fans that disagree with me on this, but Juve has the one thing that a lot of teams lack, and it's the depth.
Yeah,
but in my opinion, they have the depth.
Napoli, are they playing in the Champions League?
They are not. They're playing in the Europa League.
So who's going to be fresh?
Doesn't matter. Europa League plays more often if we do end up making it through, which I hope Spalletti just throws in the towel for Europa League, if we're being honest.
And just win the Scudetto.
Just focus on the Scudetto.
Right.
Throw away the Europa League.
So, Juventus, I wanted to touch on this earlier. Juventus is holding my prediction for player of the year.
Who? Chiesa.
Chiesa.
I could see that happening.
His father won it in 96. He's going to win in 2022.
I could see that happening. I will have to get back to you guys on my player of the year because as of right now, I just can't. I would probably throw Chiesa in that mix, but there's just so much still to be seen
right
before the season starts. But all right, everyone. That was our top five prediction for Serie A. I hope you enjoyed the transfer news, our predictions. And if there's anything else that you want us to cover, please shoot us a message on Instagram. We are also on TikTok, Sava FC. You can message us on there. We're getting our Facebook page up and running, so pretty soon you'll message us there as well. Or leave a comment on whatever platform you're listening to. And we'll check it out, and we'll cover whatever you want to hear.
Or you can call Antonio's cell phone number at 203. I'm just joking.
867-5309.
There it is.
I hope you all enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you soon.
See you later.